Just like to invite you to turn to Book of Romans, chapter 6. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for inviting me here to give a word of testimony to what the Lord has done in my life and how he's saved me. Romans, chapter number 6, reading from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts of your flesh thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I'll just maybe turn to the Lord in a wee word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to testify to thy goodness, Lord. I thank thee, Lord, for every soul that thou hast brought in this night into this place. And, O Lord, I just leave it all with thee, Lord. I pray, Lord, that thou wilt undertake. And, O Lord, by thy Spirit, Lord, that thou wilt come. Lord, let them not be my words but thine. And, Father, I pray, Lord, if there be any in this meeting, Lord, outside of Christ, without a Saviour, Lord, that this night, Lord, the gospel will be made plain to them. That, O Lord, they need to be freed from that burden of sin. Father, we ask, Lord, that thou wilt undertake just now, Lord, according to thy perfect will, we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Well, I wasn't born into a Christian home, but I was always taught the difference between right and wrong, and brought up, I suppose, right, as you would say. But, you know, while I was still young, about 10 years of age, my mother got saved in a meeting down in Tondagee. And she began to be an influence on me and my brother, and she sent us along to Sunday school and holiday Bible clubs in the summertime. But, you know, as a child, I never gave my life to the Lord. But I went through school, and I don't like to spend too much time in it because I hated every minute of it. And I'm sure many has here done the same. But the last 2 years of school, I believe it was the company or the world, led me to go to nightclubs at the age of 14. I started going to young farmers' events, and my friends were all going, so I thought, you know, this is the thing to do. You have to go there and just do this because this is what the rest of the world's doing. But, you know, maybe your friends are telling you tonight, you know, you have to go here, you have to go there, you have to drink, you have to do this. Sure, it's only a bit of crack. We're only young once. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It doesn't say just wait till you're older and enjoy life now in your youth. It says remember now thy Creator. But, you know, I didn't know this, and I was, the first night I went out, I didn't drink, but, you know, the old nightclub had me. The second time I went, I started to drink cider and thought, sure, there's no harm in that, it's soft. But you know, this was just the way I was caught. The old devil had caught me. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, it was read out in the service this evening, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You know, by the age of 16 or 17, I was drinking heavily, I was drinking vodka, and to my shame, every weekend, I spent it in the Bonville Hotel in Banbridge or the coach or wherever else I could get. And, you know, I was wasting my life. I didn't even realize the harm that I was doing to my body by this binge drinking. I got my license at the age of 17, and I was training an apprenticeship to be a digger mechanic, and I was doing well. And, you know, I got a wee bit too confident. I thought, you know, this is me. Nobody's going to stop me, and I am the big fella. And I was a whole lot bigger than I am now, but you mightn't believe that if I couldn't be much bigger, but I was. I just asked David. But, you know, I thought I was a big fella and nobody was going to stop me. I was going out and drinking and smoking and fighting and all the rest of it. But, you know, the Lord was going to take a dealing with me. The Lord was going to come into my life and he was going to take control and show me how small I really was. One night I was coming out of the Bonville car park in Banbridge and I was driving erratically. And, you know, I wasn't too far out of the road. There was a policeman caught up with me in an unmarked car. And you know, he got out and he gave me a good telling off, and rightly so. And he gave me a court summons. He says, I'll see you in court. And I says, right, well, can't do much about that. So I went home. And you know, I couldn't sleep that night. I hadn't had too many sleepless nights before that, but I tell you now, they're not too nice. I was very worried about how I was ever going to tell my parents, because you know, they'd always told me to drive carefully and not to act idiot, but I had went and just done the opposite of what they had said. I was more worried about how I'd let them down. Didn't know how I was going to tell them. And, you know, this maybe doesn't seem like a big thing to you, but you know, sure, what is it, just getting done by the police? But it was a big thing to me, because all I seemed to have was my job and my license, and I thought that was what life was all about. And you know, with this court summons, I was going to lose my license, and through that I was going to lose my job, and I couldn't see any future in life anymore. But you know, I just decided I would live life as normal to see what happened. And David here was unsaved at the time, and he invited me to go to a youth rally in Auchnacloy. And I have to admit, our motive wasn't to go and to hear the gospel, it was to go and see what girls we could see there. But you know, the Lord started to speak there in those youth rallies in Tondragee and Auchnacloy. It was there I realised that I needed to change my life. I realised that I was living a reckless life, and you know, everything seemed to be going wrong. But you know, I tried myself. My mouth was filthy, it was filled with curse, and every other word that I would say would have been a swear word. And you know, I tried, you know, I said, right, I'm going to have to stop cursing and try and clean my life up a bit. But you know, I couldn't do it. I failed every time I tried. And I was brought to see how the Lord could change my life. And it was at Auchnacloy one night at a youth rally. I heard Reverend Abraham read out James chapter 3 and verse 8. It says there, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Reverend Abraham that night explained it, but how no man could ever tame his own tongue, that only God could do the work. You know, one night later on, I was just lying in my bed listening to a CD. It wasn't even a Christian CD or anything. It was just a worldly CD. But, you know, I believe that night the Spirit of God came and convicted me of, you know, where my life was going wrong, that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. That night I realized there was only God that could change my life. You know, I was broke to tears with conviction, and I thought I was a hard man. I thought I wasn't going to cry, but you know, I was crying that night. The tears were streaming down my face, and I couldn't explain it. And, you know, I have to say that night I sat up on my bed and cried on to the Lord to save me. And I praise the Lord for that night. He did save me. He saved my soul. And, you know, I didn't think not much more of it. I just headed out to work the next day as normal. I didn't really think that anything had happened, but, you know, I couldn't explain it driving down the road. There was a complete change. My heart was filled with joy that I couldn't explain. It was joy as if I had everything I'd ever wanted, as if I had all the money that I could ever want. I had a new car and the girlfriend and all the rest of it, but yet I hadn't got any of these things. But you know, it was the joy of the Lord. And I was to learn many things after that the Lord could do in my life. He turned my life completely around. You know, he took the cursing out of my mouth. I didn't even realize it later on that day. I didn't realize that I wasn't cursing anymore, and it really spoke to me later on that day when I realized that, you know, Reverend Abraham was right. No man can tame his own tongue. And I started to realize that the Lord had done this work. You know, I had to tell my friends that night that, or in the weeks to come, that, you know, there's going to be no more nightclubs. I can't go out there anymore. So, you know, I've been saved and I'm not going out to them places anymore. And, you know, maybe you're afraid tonight of giving up your friends. Maybe you're going to the nightclubs and all your friends are doing the same things and you're afraid just to give up those friends that you have. But I have to say, the Lord, he's gracious, and he gave me new friends. And he gave me more and better friends than I could ever imagined. I started then to go to every youth rally I could ever get to, and any meeting I seen that was on, I went to hear what the Word of God had to say. But you know, David stayed with me at that time, and he wasn't saved yet, but he didn't bother going out to the nightclubs. He just followed along with me, and I got a burden to pray for David. You know, he was going to start uni, and I was afraid that when he go up there that, you know, the nightclubs would draw him in again and he would be led far out into the world. So I started to pray for him. You know, the Lord answered that prayer. He answered the prayer, and about 5 or 6 months David was saved as well. You know, the Lord brought many influences into David's flat up in Belfast. He had 2 Free Presbyterian missionaries' sons were there with him. And, you know, the Lord spoke to him and saved him as well. But I got 5 penalty points and a bit of a fine, but that's all I'll say about that. But I was getting on better now at work. I was getting on better. I found out even that I had Christian brothers in work to help me. You know, I was afraid even to witness, but you know, don't ever be afraid to take your stand in work or in school or college, wherever you are, because you know the Lord's going to help you. And I started to look for a girlfriend, and decided then maybe I'll have to get one of them. So I started out looking around the girls, and well, I got into a relationship. But you know, to my shame, I have to say it led me away from the Lord. You know, I got into a relationship and I was putting my relationship before the Lord. I It seemed like everything I was doing, it was to do with a relationship, and God was getting second best, but you know, it wasn't right, and it had to end. And the Lord ended it, and I maybe didn't understand it at the time, you know, it was hard and all the rest, but you know, I decided after this that that the Lord had to have my all. I was in a meeting one night, and Reverend Abraham again was preaching. He was preaching in consecration to God's purpose. And you know, that night I decided that there was no other life, but I had to give it all to the Lord. And I got a burden to go and to reach others with the gospel. You know, I didn't have any knowledge at that time. I didn't know my Bible as well as a whole lot of people that had been brought up in the church or whatnot. But, you know, I had a testimony to how the Lord had saved me. And I just went out with my testimony and began to reach, to go and to talk to those coming out of the nightclubs to tell them how the Lord had saved me. You know, maybe you're afraid to go and do that. I was afraid, I'll admit it, the first night I went out. I was afraid of what I was going to do or what they were going to ask me. But, you know, it's only the Lord that will help you. He'll give you much help in them situations, all the awkward questions. Many a time is very hard and very awkward, I'll admit it. But you know, the Lord calls us to go and to reach others with the gospel. We're not to be silent. But you'll never even realize the many blessings that the Lord will give you from doing this. I have to thank the Lord too for giving me another girlfriend. He gave me a godly girlfriend this time, and one that's not going to hinder me. And I really thank the Lord for her. And I wonder tonight, I'm sure many of you are here with the same motive as me and David had. You're here to look for a boy or a girl or whatever it is you're looking for. I wonder what you're looking for in that boyfriend or that girlfriend. Are you just looking to the flesh or the outward appearance? Or are you looking to their heart? Are you going to see, is the Lord there? Or have they a burden to go and reach the lost? Or have they the same morals and standards of you, as you have? Or it's just something I think is very important. You know, I'm not going to try and tell you tonight that I'm perfect or I've lived a perfect life after that. You know, I've failed the Lord many times and grown cold even, and but you know, the Lord's faithful. He's faithful to bring you back to Him. One night I was even doubting whether I was saved or not. And you know, the Lord spoke to me through Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39. It says there, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, friend, maybe tonight there's a backslider here. Maybe you're out in that mountain, wild and bare, as it were. You know, maybe you're not in that close fellowship with the Lord as you once were. Maybe once you were on fire for Him. Maybe once you were reading your Bible every day, but you know, and you were praying and you really felt the Lord's presence at your side, but you know, now you've got out into the world maybe, and maybe your prayer life, it's down, it's not what it used to be. Maybe you're not as close to the Lord as you thought you once were. But you know, you'll find no pleasure out in the world. Maybe you're under a heavy load of sin tonight. You know, the Lord's ready to take you back. It says in Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 29, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." You know, it's only with the Lord tonight that you'll find rest. It's only with the Lord, getting back into that close fellowship with Him, that you're going to find true peace and true happiness. Maybe you're here tonight and you're unsaved. You know, maybe you're not what you would call as bad as me. Maybe you haven't done the things that I've done. Maybe you don't go out into the nightclubs or get drunk or smoke or fight or any of the rest of it. You know, the Bible says we're all sinners. I'm sure I don't have to tell you this, but Romans 3 and 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, maybe you're saying that I'm not as righteous as you were. Do I really need to be saved? But you know, the Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." You might say, sure, all my friends are doing the same. Sure, what's the difference? Sure, everybody else is doing the same. What's the difference for me? Why would I need to be saved? You know, the difference is you've been told tonight, you've been given the opportunity. You know, we're here to warn you of, you know, that the end of sin is death. The Bible tells us, Romans 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You know, maybe you're going to ask tonight, maybe you are worried about your soul and where you're going to be after death. You're asking the question, what must I do to be saved? You know, it's through Christ and His blood that was shed on the cross. You know, Romans 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." And verse 9 reads, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him." You know, you're only going to find peace with Christ tonight. You can look to the world all you want. I've been there and done that. Maybe you haven't been out in the nightclubs, but maybe you've got that old notion in your head that maybe I'd like to try it to see what it's like. But I tell you, friend, avoid it at all costs. Don't go near them. There's no peace to be found there. You know, we were out last night outside in the nightclubs, and I was talking to a fella. I worked with him for years. I was asking, you know, what's keeping you from coming to the Lord? He knows he needs to be saved. But, you know, he couldn't answer it. He says, you know, I think it's the drink. It's caught me. You know, the drink will catch you. You know, your minister was preaching on it tonight. You know, how the old drink, one drink's not enough, and a thousand, or one drink's too many, and a thousand's not enough. You know, that alcohol, it's going to catch you, and you're never going to be able to get away from it. You know, I don't care what you have tonight. You might have millions of pounds. You might have 10 cars or 5 houses or whatever. And, you know, I don't care what you have. You're not going to have true peace without Christ. I don't care what this world has to offer, but I only want what Christ has to offer me. Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it just says there about how we're only going to find peace through Christ. And I trust tonight that you'll not delay, that you're not going to waste any more time. You're not going to waste any more time going out into the world or wasting your time in the nightclubs. I wasted 4 years of my life from I was 14 to I was 18. I'm 21 now, and I didn't want to waste any more years then. I regretted all those years that I'd wasted without the Lord, you know, because I'd only found true peace then. There's a young fella I trained with in an apprenticeship, and he's recently got saved, and, you know, he said the exact same thing. You know, I've wasted too many years. You're wasting too many years out in the world, out, you know, playing with the old devil and just running along with him. I trust tonight that you're not going to delay any longer, that you'll come to Christ, for you'll never regret it. Just ask our brother to come and close the meeting. Thanks all for listening.
Is that not a word of encouragement? Indeed, a word of warning to us all. Thank you very much, Gary, for that. Very, very plain, straightforward, shooting from the hip, as they say, testimony. And I trust that indeed the words and God's word will speak to you. Indeed, it seems to be a common thing that there's a great lack of peace. Even in Northern Ireland at this time, there's a lack of peace, but even in particular amongst young people, and young people who would tell you outwardly that they're living life to the full and they're really enjoying themselves and they've all these plans just for really going out and getting full and whatever all else it is. But yet, when you actually peel that all away and speak to them on their own and in private, and maybe you know that yourself from your friends, there's not a lot of peace there. And there's certainly not a lot of happiness there. And there's no satisfaction at all there. And the Bible tells us that very plainly. There is no satisfaction to be found in this world and the things the world has to offer, but only to be found in Jesus Christ. We're just going to sing another chorus in closing. Number 17. Chorus number 17. Father, I place into your hands the things that I can't do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go, for I know I always can trust you. We'll stand and we'll sing the three verses, number 17, just to close our youth rally tonight.